Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
It's in towards Reyes. It's cleared. It's seven. It's one that Alexander Klepp will remember.
Jensen. Oh, that's what they've been waiting for.
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast with me, Dan Roebuck. On today's show, we're focusing on some players and moments that have taken on cult hero status. Alex Klepp tells us about the happiest period of his career. Adrian Clarke remembers his debut and witnessing a truly iconic goal. But let's kick off with Anders Limpar recounting the greatest practical joke of all time.
It is really unbelievable, but all the pranks are unbelievable. When it happens, you go, this can't be true. And you don't rely on yourself, and it happens. The thing was, this all started a day before that I was opening a restaurant, and we were on the way to Gothenburg to try another couple of bottles of wines, you know, to take into to the restaurant. And on the way back, we were flying back in a small plane. And it's so unbelievable. So this science man, he was coming along the trip as well. So we were five people on the plane, me and my friend, the scientists, and two other people. And during that flight, he was actually putting up his laptop and showed all bits and pieces. And the day before, when I was flying down to Gothenburg, I was reading the paper, Swedish newspaper. On one side, it was telling me that now you can travel in time. This science have managed to travel back in time 1 minute. So time travel can happen in the future. And I was reading this and I put the newspaper on. Didn't think of it. So now we're going to go on this plane, the small plane back to Stockholm. And he was sitting there and I told my friend, that's the science man I read about in the paper. Everything is put in there, you know. And he goes, yeah, you're right. I read that as well, you know, in the paper. So, he started to show it everything. And I go, can't you show anything? like a kid, can't you show me anything? So what time do you want to go back to? so silly. Yeah, why not go back to the one or nil or whatever? No, okay, but let's go back 2 years back in time. That's enough. Yeah, so. And then suddenly he just pressed this button on this laptop. The whole thing. The plane took a dive, like in vertical, 50 meters. Everything was flying, coffee, water, food, everything in the plane. And we were like, we weren't belt up. We were flying in there. And the plane was leveling up. And I shouted at him, I did it. What did you do? Like, yeah, we're back 2 years in time. And I thought, can this be right? Ran towards the pilot and thought, yeah, you have to sit down because we would disappear 2 years from the radar. And then suddenly two jet planes came up, like on each side, telling us that, where have you been? You have been disappeared for 2 years. And I thought, is this true? Or can it be true? Or I was like doubtful, and then suddenly they were convincing me this is true and everything. It was just such a weird feeling when you talk about it. And years after that, I was like a big joke in Sweden, because how can you believe in that? Or I mean, how naive can you be? But when you are in a position like that, it was so real. and frightening. I can tell you, it was the best prank ever. It cost us 2 million, it's like 200 grand. A normal prank cost 10 grand with all the jets and the preparations. And I met the king in the hangar, and he go, come up to me, the king, Swedish king. And I go, and he goes, yeah, Anders, we've been so worried, you've been away for 2 years. And I went like, have you been buried and stuff like that? It was the best prank ever.
And is it true that you finished the flight, I think your wife or had a puppy, but then it was a dog?
Actually, it's my friend's wife was on the trip to Gothenburg because we were going to buy wine. And she was going to buy a dog. So she bought this puppy, but she took another plane home, a proper plane, and we were going to take this, a small plane. So when we arrived and landed, I told my friend, look at the dog. The dog was like that big, you know, from the puppy, like in 2 years' time. And I thought, yeah, it must be true then, because she looked older. She had makeups and everything, and she was pregnant. And I tell my friend, hey, Dan, look, look. Puppy is older and she's pregnant and she looks older. It must be true. It was all made up. And it was such the best prank ever. So I was really, really fooled. And I'm glad I was part of the prank.
It's a great story. Mm. Did the king tell you that Norway had won the...
Yeah. Actually, have you heard, Anders, Norway won the World Cup? I go, what?
No.
Yeah, it's in the papers. I went up to the paper, read the papers, like, Norway beating Germany in the final. All prepared.
They thought of everything.
Everything. And when I was doubtful, something happened. And I told my friend, can this be a prank or whatever? Bang, something happened in the plane or whatever. And after that, I've heard that they had a doctor on board, a physician or whatever they called. So if I was freaking out, the doctor would have taken care of me. So it was the best prank ever.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's
amazing.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, I'm pleased to say that Adrian Clarke joins me now to talk about a cult moment which he had a front row seat for at Highbury. We are talking, of course, about John Jensen's goal.
Here's Winterburn. Arsenal striving hard for an equaliser. Jensen. Oh, that's what they've been waiting for. And that's what he's been waiting for. At long, long, long last, a goal in Arsenal's colours for the Dane, John Jensen.
Well, it was a special day, of course, for you, Adrian, because it was your debut. Now, you weren't on the pitch for the goal. You came on, what, 10 minutes or so after it was scored?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah. But I know exactly where I was when John Jensen scored, or JJ, as we used to call him affectionately. I was warming up. I was trotting up and down to the right of the dugouts towards the north bank, so jogging up and down there. And I think I was around level with the 18-yard box. And I'm keeping my eye across playing as he just looks up to bend it with that right foot of his. I think everybody's saying, no, don't do it. Don't do it, JJ. But he smacked it into the top corner. An absolute beauty of a goal. And well, just thinking about that moment now, it just takes me right back there. The roof was lifted off of Highbury. The noise was incredible. And I just remember his celebration as well. He just looked so shocked. So,
as if he didn't know how to celebrate a goal.
Well, he hadn't had much practice, let's be honest. But it was one of the special moments, I think, during the latter years of Highbury, because he was a bit of a cult hero, because it became such a laughing stock that he hadn't scored a goal and that he had effectively been signed off the back of scoring for Denmark at the European Championships just before his arrival. So, yeah, it was an unbelievable moment, and I was privileged to be there.
Tell us a little bit about JJ the player, because I'm presuming he might have scored the odd one in training. I mean, why did he go so long without a goal? I mean, I know he wasn't in the team to score goals. He wasn't a striker. He was a defensive midfielder, wasn't he? But by and large, he was, you know, good engine on him. But it did start to get to ridiculous amounts of games, didn't it? But what was he like in training? Did he have shots? Did he score ever?
Yeah, not many. No, not many. Yeah, it was. We just used to rib him completely all the time. His shots were fairly loose. It just wasn't his game. He was a tackler. He was the sort of player that every team needs. Just someone to sit there, do the dirty work, win the ball, and give it to someone who's a bit more talented than you going forward. And he was absolutely okay with that. There are some players that maybe think that they're better than what they are and that, oh, I don't want to be restricted to this. But he knew his limitations and he was very, very good in terms of his engine. He was really snappy in the tackle, very, very aggressive. And he was good of his distribution. He wasn't noted for his long passing, but he would give you the ball nice and quickly. He was a really valued member of the squad, actually, even though he didn't score very many goals. It wasn't as if we didn't rate him. We knew that he was invaluable. And he was a very popular member of the team as well, a really good lad.
Ultimately, it was a consolation goal because Queen's Park Rangers went on to win 3-1. I guess it was slightly different for you because it was your debut. You know, if you look back, you'll try to recall the memories in the changing room, the dressing room after the game. Yeah. I mean, were people sort of coming up to, you know, forget about the result, just talking about JJ's goal? Or was it because we were beaten, it was a little bit different because it was your debut?
It was a low mood. No, it was a low mood because we just lost at home to Queen's Park Rangers. Yeah. And yeah, it all went pear-shaped when I came on. they did finish the game strongly. And yeah, it was just one of those things that they hit us with a couple of sucker punches towards the end of the game. And yeah, words were had. But I do remember that it was New Year's Eve. So after the disappointment, the frustration of the defeat, I think players' minds were then thinking, OK, what are we going to do tonight then?
So it was one of those, New Year's Eve.
You couldn't dwell on it. But look, for me as a young player that had just made my debut, there was great disappointment at the result, elation that I'd made my first team debut. And I did have plans to go out that night. I wasn't really drinking because we had a game a couple of days later.
How old were you?
I was 19, 20, I think, at this time. But I went out to my local pub and I did feel 10 feet tall because I just played for Arsenal. My dream had been fulfilled. So it was a really special day for JJ and for me as well.
Have you got one of the "I was there when John Jensen scored" T-shirts?
Yes. Well, my parents have. I just thought it would be funny to buy one because I guess I just looked into the future, thought, I wonder if that might be worth something. So I saw them on the market stalls. Yeah. I thought, I'll have one of those and I'll get John to sign it. So he did sign it for us.
So you've got a signed one?
Yeah, I've got a signed copy. So it is, I think, in my parents' loft at the moment. I don't suppose it's particularly valuable, but it is a moment of Arsenal history that's very collectible, I guess.
What about the modern player? Any other players in JJ's boots, do you think, that have played for Arsenal over the last few years? Who can we think of that maybe only scored one or not scored at all?
Yeah, Coquelin. I think he's the most obvious comparison. He was a very similar type of player. For anyone that isn't old enough to have seen John Jensen play, he was a similar player. He'd shuttle from side to side, win the ball, give it nice and simply, lots of energy, loads of character, but rubbish at shooting. And I guess Francis Coquelin went through that same thing. And he had exactly the same shouts from the crowd as well, because
towards the end,
what we haven't discussed is that John Jensen had to contend with every time he got the ball 30 yards out,
everyone would shoot,
and it would sometimes egg him on to do it. And I think we saw that a little bit of Francis as well towards the end of his Arsenal career. So look, it's just par for the course, and it's a bit of fun for the supporters. But for John Jensen, I think,
did he get into his mind a bit, do you think?
I just don't think he cared. He was a very laid-back character. He was Scandinavian. He was a bit of a joker. Terrible dress sense. Awful. White socks with slip-on shoes. He was that kind of get-up. Terrible clobber, but just very likeable. And he knew his job in the team. And everybody respected him within the group as well, John Jensen, because you need players like him. Not everybody can be there to score goals. You need I don't want to call it a hod carry, but you need that person to do the dirty work, and he did it brilliantly.
Adrian, thanks for popping on the pub to reminisce about JJ. You indeed were there when he did score.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Alex Clebb became a cult hero figure in three seasons with us. He spoke with Rob Kelly about his time at Highbury and the Emirates.
Alex, we want to talk to you about your career at Arsenal. What emotions come to mind when you think about your time at Arsenal?
Yeah, this fantastic time. I never forget. In my career, this is best time. I enjoy everything. So this is 3 years, you know, this is in coach Arsene Wenger. I think for me this is best coach, okay. What we enjoy with him and spend this time and play together, I never forget. And of course, this is team spirit. And friendship between, you know, young players and when we're coming for the team, for the coach and for the fans, of course. And we show fantastic games also. But we didn't win Premier League, but we are very close to this. In my career, this is best time.
Was it the best time in terms of also the best football that you played, do you think?
Yeah, of course, this is time where I enjoy football. I feel support from coach, and in the pitch we understand very good. We are like, you know, we're coming like to enjoy, you know, not to play, fight. We're coming to enjoy and to win. But this is like when you heard music and you love, and same way I feel like when we come to the pitch in the time. This is fantastic.
I want to ask you about 2007-08. It was the closest we've come to winning the title for a long time. Was that the chance to win the title that got away?
Yes. This is last season for me in Arsenal. This is, we have best chance to win titles, but yeah, happened. This is problem with Eduardo when he broke leg, and you know, and our morale go a little bit down because we see this everything, and something happened, something broken in our mind. We five games, I think, play not good, we lose so many points, and after, yeah, cannot go again up. But this has happened, this is football, and yeah, we didn't win, but yeah, this is life.
How much do you regret leaving Arsenal? Because I saw some quotes saying you find it difficult to explain.
Yeah, oh, I don't understand why. This is something my agent pushed me and to say, yeah, Barca, this is best, and you have chance to win titles with Barcelona, win Champions League, everything. But I'm so happy in Arsenal, and really, I don't know what happened, and yeah, I'm changing, but fantastic time like in Arsenal, I never enjoy in another club.
What were your conversations like with Arsene Wenger? I read that he rang you and you were fishing and...
Yeah, man, this is... I'm crying really, you know. I was my friend and we're fishing, and when Arsene Wenger sent me a message, Alex, you need to stay, team need you, and you know, I'm like so much feeling, so emotion, and really I cry, I don't know what to do this moment.
But when you think about Arsenal now, what emotions do you think about?
Fantastic emotion, because this is an unbelievable time for me, you know, and of course I'm thinking about this team, what we have, you know, work everything so 100%, you know, this feeling, team spirit, you know, support from coach, everybody feeling this, and this is fantastic time, and support from fans, unbelievable stadium, Premier League, you know, for me this is best league in the world, you know, emotional, yeah.
What an extraordinary way to win the title.
When an irresistible force meets an old immovable object, something's got to give.
Roebuck versus.
Yes, this week it's me, Dan Roebuck, versus Dan Carter, Arsenal and England striker. Liam, you're in the hot seat once again with a quiz that we're going to struggle with, I think, this week by the sounds of things, because I'm going to have to dial it all the way back to my O-level maths. Dan won't know what O-levels are, but anyway, it doesn't matter.
How's your maths?
Yeah, good maths. Yeah,
you chose this one.
You chose this one, Dan. If you don't win...
I know.
OK, so I'm going to give you a number of questions, and each question has a numerical answer. You've both got your... calculators out, which is good. I'm just about to give Dan Roebuck my one now.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so yeah, four questions, all got a numerical answer. I'm going to ask you to do a mathematical, almost like an equation, to get to a final number.
So you're looking for a number at the end?
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm going to ask for the workings at the end as well.
Yeah.
So your first question, because we're talking about cult heroes, it's cult heroes maths.
Okay.
Cult hero number one, Anders Limpar. We heard from him earlier in the podcast.
Yes, we did.
His squad number.
Did they have squad numbers?
They did indeed.
Did they have squad numbers? Yeah, so you want squad number for Anders Limpar. So if you punch that into the calculator... Okay, I think I know what it was. This is my sort of era. Dan probably...
I have no clue.
Do you know who Anders Limpar is? That's an absolute shocker. But understandable, given the age.
Do you want to give you a clue? It's between 1 and 23.
Oh, thanks for that, Liam. That's a massive help.
And it won't be number 1 or 13, because they're goalkeepers.
Okay, thank you. I've got a number. Okay.
Okay, you both got numbers?
I've got a number.
Okay.
Okay, I want you to plus...
Yeah.
...number of goals...
Yeah.
...Alex Sleb scored for us. We heard from him in the podcast as well.
What, Premier League or everything?
Everything.
Alex Sleb. Do you remember Alex Sleb?
I don't remember him. Silky
player, a creator rather than a goal scorer.
No clue this time, but
he didn't score a lot of goals.
So, plus that number.
Okay, I've got it. Okay, I'm in.
Okay, both got...
See, when we practiced this-ish, Dan was very, very confident because...
I was.
The answers were flying. You were absolutely flying.
These questions are nothing.
You know, competitive games are different.
I want you to multiply.
Yeah.
Thomas Rosicki's squad number for us.
Thomas Rosicki's squad
recent.
Number.
It's recent.
Didn't he have two?
No.
He only had one.
He was always that number.
Was he?
It's an iconic number.
Okay, if it's an iconic number, it's got to be 1 to 11, hasn't it, if it's iconic? I think. Okay.
Between two numbers.
Okay. I've got mine.
So you've multiplied that number. You've got an answer at the moment.
Yeah. Mine's a big number at the moment.
Got it.
Okay, and your final question, I want to subtract this answer.
Yeah.
Number of cup finals that John Jensen played in.
What?
I don't know who that is.
What? Number of cup finals. What, like League Cup, FA Cup, everything?
Cup
what, in his career or just for Arsenal?
Just for Arsenal, for us.
I don't actually know who that is.
It's good.
John Jensen scored.
You'd have to listen. You'd have to listen to the podcast now. I don't think it was a lot. We're talking about a 90s player here.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a lot.
Big time. Yeah.
I don't think it was a lot. Okay, I've got a number. Regretting choosing this quiz now, aren't you?
Okay, so Dan Roebuck, your number.
My number is 141.
Okay, Dan Carter,
250.
250.
And what's the answer?
The answer's 174.
Hang on, so who's closest?
You're closest by 33.
Yes,
but
winner.
It's a tainted win because you're.
Because I'm miles away.
So, squad number of Anders Limpar.
I think
I said
went.
Eight.
I went for eight.
It's 15.
Ah, oh, that's where it gone wrong.
Alex Sleb goals.
I said.
I think I went 10 in the end.
I think I said 15.
I think I went
10. It was 10.
Yes!
I said 15.
Thomas Rosicki's number?
Eight.
I said 10.
Seven. Cup finals that John Jensen played
for. I went three.
It was one. Suspended in the Cup final, didn't play in the Coca-Cola Cup final, played in the FA Cup final. It's a tainted win, but it is a win.
It's a win. I'll take a win. Yeah, exactly. Sorry, Dan.
That was very difficult.
Yeah.
The
better
practice
luck next
question
time.
Did not reflect
no, it didn't, no.
the questions that
Look,
that
we'll have you back on later in the season.
You can
try and gain your revenge.
Yes.
You need to do a little work on your 90s Arsenal.
Next it'll be cult heroes science or biology or just some other subject.
Something equally as difficult. Thanks, Liam. Thanks for playing, Dan.
Thank you.
Well, that's full time on today's pod. Thanks to all of our contributors. You can help us out by subscribing to the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you never miss an episode. And while you're there, why not leave us a review? We'll be back next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.